The following is a recording of a live questions and answers session with Chris McCann that took place on Friday, April 5th, 2013.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Questions and Answers time for a Friday evening. These broadcasts are live every Friday at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and this program is designed to interact with you with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker for this Friday evening Questions and Answers time and say hello to Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible's Friday night question and answer. Tonight, we're going to open up the room for your question or comment, and each person is invited to share whatever on your mind by contacting us in ways we're just outlined, and I'll try to respond as much as possible by turning to the Bible. Well, we only have a short time tonight, so we're going to open up the room right now and go to the first person on the phone. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer. Please go ahead with your call.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Go ahead.
I know Harold Camping believes that there is still salvation. Does he believe that nothing happened on May 21? And I have another question to ask after you answer that. Sorry about that, if you had a hard time understanding me.
Well, that's okay. You sound like I often sound. So I cough a lot with my allergies. Well, you know, first of all, what some people, and I'm not saying this to you, I'm saying this because I think it applies to maybe a good deal of people that are out there, it's the wrong question to ask. What does this one think about a doctrine, and what does another think? And I remember back when the church age information was first coming out, the end of the church age, and that question was going around, but it was formed differently. It was, this pastor doesn't agree with the end of the church age, and that pastor, and many of these pastors were on family radio, and you could almost see it in people's minds as they were hearing these things. On one hand, you had Mr. Camping, who they respected a great deal. On the other hand, you had not just one pastor they respected, but 100 pastors. And so they're weighing, well, which way do I go? Who do I believe? And it's completely wrong. We were never to, we'll never get it right anyway, doing it that way, that we never weigh the spirits like that. We weigh what does the Bible say. It would be better put now, this is the teaching that some are saying that salvation continues. Here is their teaching. And then we can weigh that and we can examine that. But to say, well, one individual and who he is means nothing. And especially now at this time. Now, I have it in this whole period of time, and I'm not going to start now to get into Mr. Camping's physical condition. All I can say is that before Mr. Camping had the stroke, in the days leading up to May 21, he taught May 21 would be Judgment Day and the door would shut. After May 21 came, he still taught May 21 was Judgment Day and the door was shut until he had the stroke. And even after that, there was no word. Family Radio's position throughout the 5 months. And by the way, you know, they had me do the Bible study, and I was teaching this on family radio, so I know that they permitted this. And, you know, some people might think, oh, that was just a big mistake on family radio's part. Well, have we forgotten who the CEO of family radio is? Who's the one that had Mr. Camping in a position of being heard on the open forum and Bible study all those years? God did. Did he stop being CEO because suddenly people weren't hearing what they wanted to hear? No, God's the one who arranged things. So that message went out over family radio from after May 21 up until October 21 in a very consistent way. No more salvation. And so now all I can say is that we do know this about Mr. Camping's condition. He is not the same student of the Bible as he was before, because he cannot be physically. He just cannot. If he could, he would be doing the open forum every night. He would be doing the Bible study as he was. But we know that's the truth. He is not physically capable of going to the Bible in the way he did before. And so what I think is that God has allowed this situation to develop in order to add to the test of these days. Who are people going to trust? And it's been charged for years and years and years against family radio listeners. You follow a man. You follow Mr. Camping. And Mr. Camping, I believe, is a true child of God, and I believe God has set up this exact situation in order that this position of family radio might be there in order to try people. Are you just going to accept what is said, even though there is no teaching, absolutely none, coming from family radio to support the position that salvation continues? It is based on a couple of verses that will not hold water, that they are not supporting in a great many other ways. They have no idea how it's possible salvation continues as far as our relationship to the Great Tribulation and so on. Just if their position was placed under scrutiny as eBible's position is placed under scrutiny, it would not last at all. It is not a solid position, and so that's what we have to look at. What does the Bible say?
Oh, well, thank you for correcting me. I know I need to be humble and accept correction, and you know, none of us are perfect. But another question I have is, can we still ask God for forgiveness after May 21?
Yes. Yes. Now, I'm glad you asked that, because, as far as a believer or an individual who's hoping for salvation, going to God, we've always had to go to God, and we've had, whether we knew it or not, to acknowledge that salvation is a past action of God. That we would pray, for instance, "Oh Lord, have mercy upon me, and may I be one of your elect." And so with that statement, we're saying, could it have been that when you chose your people, when you predestinated individuals to become saved before the world began, could I have been numbered, past tense, among them? And so we would always acknowledge, and more than that, the believer understands that work of salvation was finished by Christ before this world began, as he took the sins of these individuals upon himself and paid for their sins, each and every one of them, that he would save, and every one of their sins too. And so that is a past completed action by Christ before the world even began. We've always prayed that way, even though we pray presently, and we might be praying, oh, Lord, have mercy, and we're not even thinking about that. Could I be someone that you have saved? May you have mercy upon me, and so on. Yet it's really praying, could you have already have done that? And now, you see, the door of salvation shut on May 21 of 2011. And so we go to God, let's say, and we're not sure. We hope we were saved, but we're still not sure. We may not have been saved. And now it's true, God is not saving anyone any longer, but we can go to him, we can pray, again, acknowledging a past action of God, an additional past action. Before, we look back to what Christ had done and God's electing grace and saving his people and predestinating them. And now we also acknowledge, oh, Lord, I know you've shut the door, past tense, but could you have had mercy upon me? And once we acknowledge that, then we can start crying, oh, Lord, having had mercy, have mercy. And it's very similar. We're continuing to acknowledge that salvation is a past act, and now the application of that salvation is a past action of God also. But we continue to pray in the present. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I just sinned again. I failed again, oh, God. How could I be saved? It doesn't look good for me. I know you're not saving today, but could you have already have done this in me? And we continue to pray, and we can only believe that God is pleased by that, because it's just continuing to acknowledge his work, that he does all the work, and he did all the work in choosing, he did all the work in paying for the sins of his people, he did all the work in applying that redemption to each of his elect. All the work is finished, and we just continue to presently pray to God.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
All right, thank you for your question. And let's go to the next person on the phone. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer. Please, go ahead with your call.
Hi, good evening, Chris. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well.
Thank you for having this question and answer session. I hope you're feeling better. I just had 3 points and I wanted to ask you about. The first one was, since I've been here and in a new place since last year, I've been confronted by many who suggest that I go into a church or that I go to their church and so forth. When I bring up, when I tell them we're in the day of judgment, that the church age is over and all this, they actually think that what the doctrine I hold fast to is giving me the appearance of looking like a non-Christian, like a non-obedient Christian to their many verses that they tell me about. And so my question is, how do I counter those who suggest that we're still in the day of salvation and not the night of judgment, and that they don't have any verses to support their claim that judgment day has not occurred, or that everything is one day and not many days, as we know? And also,
is that the first question?
That's the first question.
Okay, why don't we go with that? I might forget if you continue on. But first, if people are coming to you and trying to get you to go to church, and you know, we're trained by the Bible. We're well trained. If a Jehovah's Witness comes to the door, what are we to do?
No, immediately Don't wish them Godspeed, and because we'll be evil partaker in their works.
Right, and God says,
Second John,
verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And so we say, no, thank you. We don't get into any conversation, and we shut the door. And we understand a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or someone who is in another kind of a gospel. We're well trained in that. But we tend to be very open to allow missionaries of more evangelistic churches, Reformed churches, to evangelize us.
To attempt to get us to go to their church.
Right. And yet what we have to understand is there's no difference today between paying heed to a Jehovah's Witness or giving heed to a Presbyterian or to a Reformed Episcopalian and so on, because the entire church is dead. And so that verse applies to everything or every denomination, congregation in the world. And if someone is continuing to try and witness to us, come to church, we pay them no heed. And, it doesn't do us any good to get into any kind of conversation with them, because God has already separated the wheat from the tares, and the judgment on the church is complete, and so on. And there's no benefit. We can't convince them. In other words, it's not the time before May 21 where perhaps we could hope they come out. Now it doesn't matter if they came out. So there is absolutely no benefit to having a conversation, and we should stop it and say, look, you know, the Bible says I'm not to listen to you. God's very serious about that. He says, let him on the housetop not come down into the house to take anything out of the house. And he tells us to remember Lot's wife. And so we don't even want to give any kind of glance back that in that direction.
Right. Thank you for the answer to that. The second question I had regarded the brochures that were eBible was constructing, and I was just wondering how that was coming along, Chris.
Well, it's very, very early, and I really can't say when they'll be done. It would, you know, even after it's done, then there's a lot of editing and technical things, and so we just have to patiently wait.
Okay, and then the last question I had dealt with a few verses, if you could. The first one was 1 John 2:27.
1 John 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Right, and comparing that with 1 John 2:19 through 21.
1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And what kind of comparison are you looking at?
One last verse. John 16, verse 13.
John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Here's where I'm going with these verses, that we have basically the spirit of truth, which is guides us in to compare scripture with spiritual with spiritual. But we do need teachers to help us, to guide us along the way, because not all of us have the gift of teaching there are several gifts that are given, but not all of us have that. But we all basically know the truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, when we hear it. We follow his voice. So is that what these verses are pointing to, that we can recognize it, but we not necessarily can teach it?
In 1 John 2:27, the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. That would be the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things. That is, man, we have no need of man teaching us, because the Holy Spirit will teach us of all things. And see, this is a very simple thing, but I don't know how honest some are being about this. It could just be that they're just tired of the type of teaching they're hearing, and so they're closing their ears to all teaching, and they just throw up something that sounds pretty holy. No more teachers, just the Bible. And that is, I'm not going to listen to any man, only the Bible. Well, yeah, but what if a man happens to teach something true from the Bible? And you're not going to listen to that? And, you know, that makes it convenient that if someone, if someone says something they like from the Bible, that you'll hear a bunch of amens. Oh, amen, sister. Amen, brother. But if someone says something they don't like from the Bible, well, you're a man. You're teaching. You see how easy that is? How really selfish and self-centered that is? It really makes one the determiner of their own gospel. If I like something, amen. And if I don't like it, a man's teaching it. And it's an excuse not to listen to the Bible. And when God says that he will teach us and not man, what he means, and 1 Corinthians 2 explains it very simply, when we follow God's methodology of comparing spiritual with spiritual or scripture with scripture, the Holy Ghost teaches. It's as simple as that. And if we don't follow God's methodology, and then the Holy Ghost is not teaching, and a man is teaching. The individual's teaching something out of his own mind. That's what God means. And let's go to Mark 13. Mark 13, which is speaking of the time of the end. So we know absolutely, certainly, there's no question about it, that this cannot be referring to God breaking the barrier of the supernatural. He cannot speak to us audibly as he did to the prophets while the Bible was being compiled, because God has bound himself by his own word not to break the barrier of the supernatural. And so this, in Mark 13, it says in verse 10, "And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye." Okay, now let's ask the question. Who is doing the speaking in that hour, which would have to be the hour of the Great Tribulation, the hour when God opened up the Scriptures? He's telling us directly, whatsoever shall be given you, the believer, in that hour, that speak ye. We are to speak it, which means we are to teach it, to preach it, to publish it, whatever word you want to use, we are to use our mouth to declare the word of God that God is going to give us in that hour. And it's only the time of the end and the time before the world has ended. God isn't breaking the barrier of the supernatural. He's opening our understanding, and he wants us to speak it. And then look at the end of the verse. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And there God is, it's very plain. It's very clear. It is man's mouth. You know, some people may think it, or at least charge it, that I defend that people are to continue teaching, or that believers are to continue teaching because I'm a teacher. Well, that's like saying a believer supports marriage between a man and a woman only because he's a heterosexual. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we, you, me, any man, any woman teaching other women or children, we are to use our mouth. We are to share things from our mouth and our minds, and all we're to do is to make sure, very sure, that what we're saying is can be proven by the Bible, that it's faithful to the Word of God, following God's proper methodology. Then God takes the credit. He takes full responsibility. It is not ye that speak. Even though you're hearing it from a man's mouth, we heard a great deal of truth from the mouth of Mr. Camping. And God's saying, yes, that was proper. I put the words in his mouth in the sense that he opened up Mr. Camping's understanding and gave him the ability to speak and the platform. But know this, God is saying, it wasn't actually him. It was the Holy Ghost that as it said in that verse you gave in 1 John 2. And let me read that again. It fits in perfectly with this. The anointing, which is another way of referring to the Holy Spirit, which ye have received of him, abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it should be he has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And that's been God's way all through history, and it's his way today. Come on, we really have to acknowledge this. Sometimes it's pretty obvious, but, and you know, it's one thing for someone to say, look, I don't want to listen to any man. I just want to do my own study, and it's my preference. Okay, fine. Go with the Bible, and you can be blessed, and go do that. But it's another thing to say, God is teaching. They're the ones who are actually professing that God is teaching. They're teaching. The individuals who say no more teachers but the Bible are violating that very principle, and they are teaching we are not to listen to teachers. And that is an erroneous doctrine they are teaching that comes from their mind and their understanding and cannot be proven anywhere in the Bible.
Well, I've learned a great deal, Chris, from all of your studies, and I know that you've spent so many hours, but more has been revealed to me and countless others from your studies, and, you know, they all speak of truth, the truth, which is the Word of God. So it's not from your personal opinion or your interpretation, we know, but I just can't see how I could do without teachers. I could not. I mean, I depend upon you and e-Bible, for instance, and I used to depend upon family radio,
And then, you know, there was a transition because of other things. But at any rate, it was a kind of a flow similar to like Moses leading the people up until then. Joshua took it from there. You know, it was sort of like the teachers taught the law to the people. They taught the word of God, and they reminded the people that choose ye who you are to follow this day. And I think that that you have brought forth a lot of great verses that have been revealed to you, and that you reveal them to others. And that's the point I was trying to make, that I can recognize it as truth, but I could never teach it like you teach, for instance, and I wouldn't even try. You know what I mean? I just know it. I would rather thank God for your teachings, or you're being able to see these things that are there, that God will reveal to us through you, through your studies, than to just try to go about it by myself and look through the Bible and hope the Spirit guides me into all truth, you know?
Well, you know, God God equipped Mr. Camping with a lot of time, and he was able to spend thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours, I'm sure, in the Bible over the 50 years of teaching. And most people don't have that kind of time. And so that's an advantage if someone is in a position where they can spend much more time than the average person in the Bible. And right now, that's the position I'm in. Then the teaching, as long as they're following God's methodology, and can be a blessing, and individuals that hear it, who are true believers, are listening for the voice of Christ, and they're checking it out. You know, we don't have to always pull out the concordance. Every time we listen to something, when a child of God is listening to a teaching, it really is landing on a background of maybe years of listening to teaching, and they know the direction of a teaching and so on. But we are called, each one of us, to check things out, to verify it, and everyone should be checked out as thoroughly as possible. And you know, we're living in a time right now where I think that each one of us is being called upon by the Lord to feed sheep, and so we need the feeding of the great multitude, or the feeding of, yeah, it was a great multitude with a few loaves of bread, is a nice picture of what God, I think, is planning on doing during this period of time of the Day of Judgment. He break bread and gave it to the disciples, it says in Matthew 14. And then it says, and gave the, well, no, let me read that, make sure I get it right. In Matthew 14, and notice disciples is plural. It wasn't just one individual. It says in Matthew 14, in verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And these are the same two Greek words. They're in Revelation 7, where there's a great multitude out of every nation. And was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So this is during the day Christ is doing his work of healing. And we know that typifies salvation. So he saw the great multitude, and he healed their sick. And then in verse 15, and when it was evening. Now, evening comes when the sun goes down at 6 p.m., when the workday is over. Christ, his work is finished. The day of healing is done, and now it's evening. His disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past." The Greek word for time here is ora. It's the word for hour. So we can understand this. The hour of the great tribulation is past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So you see the picture after a wonderful day of salvation. The night is come, and there's a great multitude there, and they have no ability to feed them. They only have a few loaves and a couple fish. And, you know, that's basically our present situation. God finished his work of saving a great multitude. He healed all their sin sicknesses, and there they are. And what do we have? We have a website. We have a Yahoo group here, a Facebook group there. We don't have anything, Lord. How are we going to feed a great multitude? And then Jesus said in verse 16, Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. So, basically, Christ breaks the bread, and he wants to feed this great multitude, just as Jesus commanded Peter, "Feed my sheep." And the bread, we know, represents the gospel, the word of God, the bread of life, who is Christ. And yet there is hardly any of it, but Jesus blesses it, and he gives the task to the disciples, and he gives them the bread. And then the implication is he gives the disciples to the multitude. So it's a very contrary when people say no more teachers but the Bible, it is completely contrary to the will of God for this time. God's will is to give his word to not just me or 2 individuals or 3, but to the disciples, to those that understand it, and then to give those individuals to the multitude. And notice in verse 20, "And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remain, 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." And that is not possible. It's not possible. And if you ask me, how can a little ministry feed a great multitude? It's not possible. I agree. And all I can say is that this fits our present time very well, and that all things are possible with God. And it looks like he wants us to get busy, each of us, not just me. He wants all of us that have understanding to get busy. You know, he broke up that multitude into small groups of, I don't know if it says it here, of 50 or 100. He broke them up into small groups. And so if we can publish a website, and we might not do that. You know that? There's some people that think, well, you know, if I put information on a website, even if it's a free website, it doesn't cost me anything, and they're easy to do. Just about anybody can do it. You know what? Only about 100 people are going to maybe ever visit it. Okay, then you just fed, God gave you a piece of bread, and you just gave it to the multitude, to a small portion. And now another individual has a blog, and he does the same thing. And another individual has a Facebook page, and he's able to feed 100. I think this is the will of God for us at this time. We, all of us, are to teach. We are to publish and proclaim these things. And if it's only reaching a small number, which those that are critical of what God's doing in these days like to remind us, I think that's also the will of God, that we reach our 50, our 100 people, and we encourage somebody else to reach their 50 or their 100 people, and then the Lord can do things that we don't know of.
Oh, that's well put. Thank you so much, Chris, for everything, for tonight's questions and answers. It helped me answer a lot of questions that I had.
Well, thank you for your question and for those verses. And let's go to the next person on the phone. Welcome to our Friday night question and answer. Please go ahead with your call.
Oh, yes, Chris. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well. Please go ahead.
It's good to hear you back on the air. I'm glad you're getting better. Excellent question and answers and study. You answered my questions. I agree. This is really quite a time to be living, and I hope that you'll be able to get either eBible 2 or even on eBibleFellowship.com the studies that you do have, so that then we can direct people to just go there on their computer and then look at them or listen to them. I guess that's what you're getting at anyway, but excellent study, and may God bless you, and praise the Lord Jesus. It's quite a time. I agree. It's great. He's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And I would like to thank everyone for your questions and for your comments tonight, and especially for bringing up the Bible verses that were raised that gave each of us an opportunity to listen to what God had to say in those verses. And Lord willing, we'll have another live question and answer this coming Sunday during our online fellowship gathering, which begins at 12 noon Sunday. And the live Q&A is about 1:30 p.m. Normally. And so if you're available, please join us then. Lord willing, next Monday, we'll continue with the study in the book of Revelation. And also on Monday evening at 9:30 Eastern time, we'll have another question and answer. But for now, I'm going to say good night, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.
Thank you so much for joining us during this Friday evening questions and answers time. The broadcast is heard live over the Internet beginning at approximately 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You may also join our Sunday afternoon broadcast of eBible's Questions and Answers beginning at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Until then, may the Lord grant us His wisdom, and may His perfect will be done. Have a blessed evening. Good night.